Hello, everyone. This is Unbound, episode 12, part 3 of the book. When we reach the other side of the lake, an old man in a coonskin cap, what looks like a runaway, points a shotgun at us. "Who goes there?" he says. Feels like my blood's rushing out of me. Have we really come so far just to be killed? "The passengers you've been waiting for," old George Cooper says. "5 of them." The old man puts down his shotgun, and my breath, weak as a feather, flutters out. "Settlement's a few days' trek from here. There's folks been waiting for you." I wonder if folks know about us, the same way Aunt Tempe knew about Jordan being safe. "I feel it in my bones," she said, and I imagine freedom's twisting trail scattered with ribbons, bones, and ladle stars, what's gathered by the good Lord's angels and given back to fearless runaways. Uncle Jim shifts Thomas in his arms and turns to old George Cooper.
"My family,"
he starts to say, but his voice has a quiver in it, what I never heard before, and a small whistling sob scrapes out of his throat.
"We's all one family, Jim,"
old George Cooper says. He squeezes Uncle Jim's shoulder.
"You's a good man. I wish you well." "Thank you for everything," Uncle Jim whispers.
"May the good Lord protect you always," Mama says. Tears shimmer in her words, too. "Tell Sarah she's in our hearts." Old George Cooper gives Willie to Mama.
"Soon you's going to run free, little man," he says,
his hands on Willie's head. It's my turn to say goodbye, but the words, what's always running circles in my head, tiptoe away.
"You is a brave little lady," old George Cooper says. "Keep your head and your heart on what's right and good, and be proud of who you is."
I look into his scarred face, what used to scare me, and it seems to me the good Lord's already making it beautiful. "Thank you," I whisper, hugging him tight. "Tell Aunt Sarah we is safe. Tell her I won't ever forget her."
Old George Cooper pulls away, nods at each of us, and turns to go.
"Ask Aunt Tempe to tell Anna and Uncle Moses we made it cross the lake," I whisper.
Old George Cooper turns again and smiles. "They'll be pleased to hear it." He gives us one last nod. "Stay alert. Be strong. You'll find your way."
Then he climbs back in the canoe, and we watch him drift away. Seems to me the road to freedom is marked with too many sad goodbyes. The old man in the coonskin hat pulls us from our sad parting thoughts with a loud cough.
"We best get moving," he says.
He shows us what markings to follow, what crossed branches lead to trails, what piles of brush conceal hiding spots. He stays with us till first light.
"You'll be safe as long as you stay the course," he says. "The path will lead you to a swell in the ground. You'll see a circle of mud and log huts surrounding a pile of stacked brush. That's the settlement. Anybody ask, say Rainbow Joe sent you."
Rainbow Joe nods and disappears into the forest. I wonder where he goes and where he's been. I wonder how many secrets this old swamp holds. When a bright morning sunlight quivers through the trees, we slip into a hollow space inside a ring of ancient cypresses. Just as I'm about to fall asleep, I hear Mama whisper something about angels, what's wearing coonskin caps. After 3 days resting in the sun and 3 nights traveling neath the stars, the earth grows drier and the smell of smoked meat floats amid the musty scent of dried leaves and bark.
"Safe enough to keep walking in daylight," Uncle Jim says in a voice softer than moonlight.
Mama gives him a weak smile. "We've been eating nothing but roots and berries for days.
The boys is light as gully fluff and just as quiet. We's all just too tired. Seems even my lingering guilt and shame is nothing more than weary shadows. Been so long since we walked in daylight. The morning sun feels strange, and I pinch my eyes to struggle and see clear.
Think this path leads to the settlement, Uncle Jim says, giving Thomas to Mama.
The worries and fears what's been too worn out to trouble me wake up. I shift Willie to my other arm and send the good Lord a quick prayer.
Keep us safe, I whisper. Please.
We follow a trail upward to a circle of huts, some of them small and round, and some of them what look like our cabin, set they sitting on stilts. The camp is empty but for a boy what looks a few years older than me, and a man wearing ragged pants and a feather vest. Both of them stand in guard by a pile of brush. The man approaches and asks our business.
Rainbow Joe sent us, Uncle Jim says, stretching out his hand.
Welcome, the man says. Name Samuel. Expected you days ago. Was getting worried.
He nods at the boy, standing beside him.
This here is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's skin is dark as a crow's wing, and a scar curved like the moon slashes across his right eye. He nods and shakes Uncle Jim's hand.
I never heard a name like Brooklyn, but in all my wanderings, I never imagined a place like this either. I never imagined this small circle of cabins surrounded by tall trees and tangled branches. Most of the cabins have gardens with neat rows and mounds of green plants growing behind twisted vine fences. Some of them have racks with clothes and furs drying in the sun. A simple wagon made of logs and braided vines sits in front of the smallest cabin, and a cloth cradle hangs between two sheltering trees. This looks like a place where folks come to live, not like a place where folks come to hide. For the first time in a long time, the worms that's been rolling and twisting in my belly make room for a scantling of hope. Uncle Jim tells Samuel about the paddy roller what kept us hiding and slowing our pace. Then he introduces us.
This here's our Grace. Wasn't for her, we'd be bundling tobacco.
Uncle Jim's voice sounds proud, and I feel lifted up like Thomas and Willie must feel when Uncle Jim lifts them to the moon. A woman in a tattered dress patched with fur comes outside.
Samuel, she scolds, these folks must be tired and hungry. You can talk inside.
That is right, Samuel says. He nods at Brooklyn. You stay and keep lookout.
We follow Samuel and Maddie into a small clean cabin, what's got fur rugs on the floor and a table, bench, and bed made from logs. Maddie brings each of us a bowl of muskrat stew and a carved wood spoon. I'm still holding Willie, but he finally lets go, dips his spoon into the stew, and starts slurping. Mama closes her eyes and reaches out to squeeze my hand. I know she's thanking the good Lord for bringing us here. I close my eyes and thank him too.
Paddy rollers don't usually come this far, Samuel says, but if they do, we'll be ready.
He nods to a stack of bows, arrows, rocks, and guns. Maddie shakes her head.
Been living here more than 2 years. Never seen a paddy roller what's brave enough to come this far.
But you best beware, Samuel says. When the wildcats is hungry, they come close. And we just lost a good man to a bear protecting her cub. We won't let our guard down, Uncle Jim says. And a cold fear grips me again.
Will living with wildcats and bears really be better than living in the big house?
You'll make it, Samuel says. There's natives been living in these woods for years.
I clutch the broken button in my pocket and think of Aunt Sarah.
Living in a cave or deep in the wild don't seem much like freedom. But neither is living in fear of fiery words and whippings. Maddie offers Mama, me, and the boys a place to lie down, while Samuel shows Uncle Jim the surrounding woods. After 3 nights of little sleep, Mama's grateful, but my mind's swarming with thoughts what need pondering. I'll sit outside with the boys, I say. Mama's scared to let us go, but Maddie promises it's safe. We'll be just outside the cabin, Mama. Willie takes my hand, but Thomas clings to Mama. Neither boy makes a sound, and I wonder if I'll ever hear them talk or laugh again. I sit on the ground outside Maddie's cabin, and Willie starts drawing a picture in the dirt. Same picture he always draws, circles and lines what look like people. Uncle Jim, tallest of all, next to him, Mama and Aunt Sarah and old George Cooper with his scratchy face, and me and Thomas and Willie with our big circle heads and short line legs. Daylight and sleep is pinching my eyes, but I try sorting my thoughts. Have we really escaped Master Allen? Is old George Cooper back with Aunt Sarah? Is he already helping other runaways? Am I really outside, pondering in the light of day? Is this freedom? I watch Brooklyn watching the woods and camp. He catches my eye and walks over. Willie crawls into my lap. I'm glad you arrived safely, Brooklyn says. I'm glad too, I say. Brooklyn smiles, and his scar crinkles into his eyes, giving me a kindliness feeling what makes me want to be his friend. I never heard a name like Brooklyn, I say, hoping he'll linger a while. Brooklyn puffs out his chest. I named myself when I got here, he says. Brooklyn's a place up north. My mama told us there's a place in Brooklyn where folks like us go to their own school and church. They even buy land and vote. His shoulders droop. My daddy set out to find it, but never came back. Twice I tried to get there myself, and twice I got caught. I'm sorry, I say. I think of Jordan and hope he really did make it north, maybe even to Brooklyn. How did you end up here? My third try, Master set the hounds after me, Brooklyn says. He forgot I was the one who cared for them. I knew them all by name, and they heeded me, same as they heeded him. The dogs let me escape into the woods. I was hiding there when a man named Cooper found me. He took me across the lake with Samuel. Brooklyn stops talking and smiles. Mighty glad you made it here safe, he says again. He pats Willie's head. And you too, Willie. Brooklyn looks at me. One day, you can tell me your story. Brooklyn limps back to his spot by the pile of brush, leaving me to ponder my own story.